So last week, I was very much blessed to be able to go back to my alma mater, West Point, for the 50th anniversary of my graduation there. So I looked around and I said, who are all these old people, these old codgers? And then I realized that I was one of them, you know. But it was a wonderful reunion. Something like 1,540 started at West Point, my class. 944 graduated. 550 were there for the reunion. And 115 have gone on to their reward with the Lord Jesus. But it was a wonderful reunion, good to see people. And you can be assured that plenty of war stories were told and embellished upon, right? So Sunday morning, I went to Mass very early at Our Lady of Mercy in Montvale, New Jersey. Some of you know where that is. And then I went to breakfast at a diner. Those of you that are from New Jersey, you know what a diner is, right? And you probably miss it dearly. And so anyway, I went there. But I did that so that I could go to the cadet chapel at West Point for the Protestant service, because I was Protestant when I was at West Point. So the Cadet Chapel is a magnificent building, magnificent church, Gothic in style. It has the largest pipe organ in the world that's inside a church. It has 23,000 pipes in the pipe organ. Magnificent. But in the service that they had, they didn't play it much. They had an opening hymn, kind of, and they played it then. And there was a Latin piece they played after the service. But they didn't play it much. The cadets came and they sang with their guitars. Now you should understand, and I think being at St. Mary's, you know this, the Catholic Church has a hierarchy of music, right? And it's just long established, but top of everything is Gregorian chant. A little bit after that is organ music. And then you go down and down and down, there's piano, and significantly lower is the guitar. Because beauty comes from truth, who is Jesus Christ, and beauty brings us to truth, who is Jesus Christ. So they had this magnificent organ, but they didn't play it much, which was sad to me. The liturgy was, I guess, not so good, I would say. One of the things I noticed, they had an Old Testament reading, they had a New Testament reading, they had a reading from 2 Timothy. They had no gospel, okay? They had no gospel. The words of Jesus were not there. So I'm saying this to say, I want you, and I'm sure you are. I want you to be thankful that God has chosen to reveal to you the truth of the Catholic faith, and that you're here, and you get to experience beautiful music, sacred worship, and you get to bring that into your soul. I want you to, you see, we have sacred scripture, we have sacred tradition, we have the magisterium of the Catholic Church, the Pope teaching in union with all the bishops around the world that keep us on track. And that's why we had a gospel this morning. We had a gospel this morning. So it's absolutely wonderful. So wanted to share that with you. But today the Easter season concludes with Pentecost Sunday, commemorating that day in the budding church, when the Father and Son poured out the Holy Spirit in a special way on the apostles, and they took up the mission of proclaiming the gospel throughout the known world. The Holy Spirit, throughout the church's history, has showered down gifts upon the church to keep her faithful to the teachings she's received from our Lord, and to keep the fires burning to inspire hearts to turn to our Lord and be reconciled with God. Amen. Today's first reading, with wind and fire, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the 12 in a way that could not be contained. It was a sign that no one could ignore. A rushing wind and tongues of fire, it draws a crowd for sure. It's a sign everyone can understand. It goes beyond the barriers of language to help humanity reunite once again in the Spirit. It's the sign everyone has been seeking, the truth about God, the world, and man. All those diverse peoples heard about the mighty works of God in their own tongue. The fire of the Holy Spirit spread truly like a wildfire, uncontainable throughout the whole world. In today's second reading, Paul reminds us that the presence and action of the Holy Spirit are often perceived as gifts, gifts for the edification and unity of the church. The Holy Spirit gives us the gift of prayer to express in faith that Jesus is Lord. The spiritual gifts are unified in the church throughout their source, the Holy Spirit. The ways we serve are unified in serving our Lord. All the workings of the Spirit in us come from God. Each gift is for our benefit, for another's, or for both. In today's gospel, we are reminded of one of the Spirit's greatest gifts, a gift our Lord conferred to the apostles on the eve of the resurrection, the gift of reconciliation with God. Our Lord first bestows the gift of reconciliation with his dearest friends, the friends who abandoned him in his moment of need, and he told them, "Peace be with you." It's no coincidence that he repeats this desire for reconciliation even as he's breathing the Holy Spirit upon them. It is the Holy Spirit who makes reconciliation possible. The Spirit raised Jesus from the dead and gave him new life so that reconciliation can happen. Now, it is very sad, but sometimes people break off a relationship, a family or friend or something, and they break off that relationship by saying, "You are dead to me." I would hope that none of us, as redeemed children of our Heavenly Father, would ever say such a thing. But in God's eyes, even in those situations, the Spirit can make that person come alive again through the grace of mercy, whether that mercy is received or given. The separation between God and man, recalled by the story of the Tower of Babel, is reversed by the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. In pride at the Tower of Babel, man distanced himself from God and his fellow man, and communication broke down. Through the gift of tongues, the Holy Spirit reestablished the lines of communication. In the Spirit, man reconciles not only with God, but with his fellow man. And ever since, the Holy Spirit emboldened the church at Pentecost to go public and proclaim the good news around the known world. The grace of Pentecost continues to this very day in many different ways. A good priest friend of mine, I'm just going to call him Father Johnson, for he is a humble priest and would not want attention drawn to him. But he is an example of one of the many ways that the Holy Spirit works in our world today. In 2013, Father Johnson attended the World Youth Day in Brazil. On one of the final days, there were about 1 million young people crowded on the beach for Mass. Father was one of the many priests present there to hear confessions. Needless to say, with 1 million people crammed together on the beach, people were really pressed against each other. After the confession time was finished, a nearby priest asked Father Johnson, "Father, how many languages do you speak anyway?" Father Johnson replied, "Just English." "Well," the other priest replied, "you heard confessions and gave absolution in many different languages." Father Johnson had no idea that it happened. He thought he was speaking English all the time. A miracle of the Holy Spirit, a Pentecost miracle. On another occasion, Father Johnson was in Rome at St. Paul's Outside the Walls, a very beautiful church, and we kind of look a little bit similar to that. It's a gorgeous church. He was looking forward to being part of the concelebrating priests and partaking in the procession. At the last moment, however, he was drafted into hearing confessions. At first, he was deeply disappointed in missing the procession and the concelebration. But again, after he finished with his confessions, he was made aware that he had heard confessions and responded in many different languages, even though English is the only language in which he is fluent. One day at his parish, Father was approached by a lady whose primary language was Vietnamese or something close to that. She wanted Father to hear her confession, but he told her he could not since he did not speak her language. "A priest has to be able to understand your confession to be able to absolve you." Later, she went into the confessional anyway, and he heard her confession in her native tongue and spoke to absolve her also in her native tongue. At first, the woman was angry, and she confronted Father Johnson, saying, "You lied to me. You told me that you did not speak Vietnamese." He told her again that he did not. And then she realized that a miracle had occurred. How does all this happen? I cannot explain, nor can Father Johnson, apart from the fact that it is a working of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that came down upon the disciples at Pentecost. This Pentecost celebration is not just a moment to ask the Spirit for more gifts, although they are abundant. It is a moment to take stock of all the spiritual gifts we have already received in gratitude. Christ being with us means that each of us has on hand a generous supply of the confirmation gifts he offered to his original disciples. The gift of the Holy Spirit, who in turn brings gifts of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of God. From the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the sacrament of confirmation is the special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, at once granted to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. It gives us a special strength of the Holy Spirit to spread and defend the faith by word and action as true witnesses of Christ, to confess the name of Christ boldly, and never to be ashamed of the cross. Throughout the Easter season, we've been trying to live out the fruits of our Lord's resurrection. We've been journeying for 7 weeks now up to this day, to this great feast of the Holy Spirit. May we never forget that though this season has come to an end, it really is just the beginning. It's the Holy Spirit now being given to us that we can go out and share the gospel every day as a part of our ordinary lives as Christians and as witnesses to Christ. St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans 1, verse 16. May this verse be part of the very fiber of our lives.